Hello, everyone, and welcome to War of the Stars, a Star Wars podcast. Come to you, as always, from deep within the Outer Rim, far beyond the watchful eyes of the Galactic Empire. My name is John Mark Tolley, and joining me, as always, is my co-host,
Garrett K. Jones. How's it going, everybody?
Going okay over here. I hope everyone had a happy Easter, or if you're outside in Europe, Pascha, as it's sometimes called, or if you're Jewish, I believe Passover was... Is it Passover just Passover? Happened or is it not happened yet?
I'm not Passover sure. Happens the week leading up to Easter.
Okay. Well, I hope everyone had a happy Passover if our all our Jewish friends out there. Anyway, we had another episode drop of Bad Batch.
Yeah. The episode was called Harbinger, and this one was I thought it was a fun episode. It was nice to see Saj Ventress back. Spoiler alert, he was back on the show, just like I thought. That my prediction about whether or not she was going to be there was accurate.
Mm-hmm. This one, it was a fun episode. I had a hard time figuring out if this was a filler episode or not.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, it feels like it's a filler episode just because it doesn't really provide them anywhere. It's more of a bottle episode because the characters don't really go anywhere. They're still on that little planet where they've been hanging out. And then Pabu, I think it is, or Pengu or whatever. But the only time that they really leave the island that they're on is when Asajj takes Omega out to open water, and then she summons the big sea kraken thing.
Yeah. That was... I mean, it did answer some questions that I think we kind of already knew. Like, this was like the first time that I can remember since the prequels... that they've actually used the word midichlorian. Like, we kind of always knew what M-count meant, but Ventress kind of finally confirms that yes, M-count means midichlorian. I think everyone kind of knew that, but as far, at least since the Disney acquisition, since they've been, doing all this stuff, that's kind of what it is, which we've kind of already knew that, but it was interesting though too that when she said about how everyone has midichlorians, but just because you have a high M count does not necessarily make you a Jedi.
And see, that kind of defeats the purpose of what was said in Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, and kind of feels like a little bit of a retcon. It's like, that's the whole point of the midichlorians, is that they connect with that living body. And...
Right. Well, I think what she is saying is that just because you have these latent abilities and latent things that you might have, that doesn't necessarily make you a Jedi. The training makes you a Jedi. The ability to be able to harness the force and use it is what makes you a Jedi.
Right.
Yeah. Otherwise, you might be someone who is extremely lucky or extremely gifted at certain things because you just happen to, figure out, take Anakin, for example. Before he was, Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan met him, he was just a kid who happened to have really good reflexes that made him good at certain things. He wasn't a Jedi yet.
Right.
He got trained. So,
yeah, it's one of those weird things where it feels like you're getting the answers you're wanting. We kind of knew what the M count thing was. I mean, it made sense, but I don't know. Because there's not a whole lot of information present. Mm-hmm. I don't get it.
Yeah.
So, And that's just that's why I feel like some of this was kind of a filler episode. Like I know that the Empire has made a point of removing anything about the Jedi or Force users from records, things that should be easily accessible. That information is gone. And so the information is not available on a ready basis, but like, did it feel to you that Asajj Ventress was giving more like non-answers than anything else?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I don't know.
It felt like she knew what was going to happen, like what she was trying to talk about, and the audience feels like they should know, but like. It just felt like the clones weren't asking the right questions.
Yeah.
I don't know. It felt so out of place. And it's like, the other thing is, how did they not know that Asajj Ventress had shown up? Like, the Marauder has some of the most advanced scanning technology on board the ship, and like nothing alerted them to the presence of this random starship showing up and hiding in a cave.
I mean, I think anytime a ship they go to a planet that has any type of civilization, like major city, isn't there like satellites and scanners that like know automatically? Like here on Earth, you know, we have that ability. We can tell when something's coming into our atmosphere, and we're not anywhere near as advanced as they are in the Star Wars galaxy.
Well, I mean, I get that the station that they're with is not as high tech. They do things very, very low tech, you know, pre-industrial. But like, for crying out loud, at some point, like, there's got to be whoever's job it was to watch the skies for a living should have seen something showing up.
Yeah.
Because there's no way. Because, I mean, you heard her ship when she was taking off and leaving the cave. It made noise.
Yeah.
And so unless there's some kind of stealth technology on it that hides the sound or the presence or the wake or even the heat put off by it, how do they not see that? I don't know.
A good question, my friend.
I'm nitpicking.
We're nerds. That's what we do.
I mean, the episode was good. I kind of hope that this isn't a one-off situation where like Asajj just shows up for this one episode and then she's done. Like, because otherwise that feels like it's kind of a slap in the face to fans, because she's a very popular character and I would like to see more of her, especially in this post-Civil War, post Clone Wars, post Rise of the Empire.
Consider the Clone Wars the Civil War?
What?
Wouldn't you consider the Clone Wars the Civil War? I guess not the Galactic Civil War. It was a Civil
War, but it's not really listed as the Galactic Civil War because it wasn't like. Because the Clone Wars were more of, they're both civil wars, but there's nothing very civil about it. The Separatists just wanted to be separated out from the Republic because they just didn't trust that their interests were being met.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Galactic Civil War, the Rebellion. That is definitely a war for, hey, we're trying to get rid of a tyrant here.
Yeah.
Sorry. I did like the episode. I'm hoping that we'll get to see more of Ventress in future episodes.
I do too. I'm wondering if they're going to do one of those where, like the last two episodes, you'll get the whole everyone comes together, you know, in one big.
That would be cool. I just hope they don't botch it because, we saw something like that in Mandalorian at the end of season 2, and that was a great send off. should have ended there. They should have just ended Mandalorian right then and there, but then Disney is like, no, we'll do one more season because merchandising opportunities.
Merchandising!
Seriously, like, and we saw how that went. Like, it was just...
Grogu the Grogu the flamethrower.
Yeah. Grogu the toilet paper.
If you know, you know.
Grogu the doll.
Yes.
I don't want your cookies. So yeah, I mean the what were your thoughts on the episode, John?
I thought it was a good episode. I agree with a lot of what you said. It did feel a lot like a bottle episode. I think it did its job. And as far as, you know, kind of answering a few questions that we might have, but still leaving us with questions. You know, because if what Asajj was saying was that she didn't have a high enough count, you know, which I thought it was weird. Her testing was so unusual.
Yeah, why didn't
she just do what Qui-Gon did and get the blood sample? I'll take it to my ship. All right, she's got high midichlorian. She doesn't have really high midichlorian. She's good. And that was it. Like, what was the, you know, it's just like, okay.
I think it just felt like they protracted the episode having her go, because like Asajj Ventress has never been this calm. She's never been this composed about anything. Like, I do love to see the fact that she's not willing to just jump right into action and butcher a bunch of people. But
yeah,
you know, she's not one for the teacher mentality. Never has been.
Which is so weird seeing her in that role. But I just had the thought of, have you ever seen the meme where they take a scene from Star Wars and change it around so that it ends the series like really quick?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like the whole thing of I can think about, I was just thinking the same thing with that, of just giving her the midichlorian blood test, like, oh, she has got no midichlorians.
Yeah, we'd have like a 5-minute episode instead of 23 minutes.
My favorite one of that, nothing. Go ahead.
Go for it.
Oh, I was. Never mind. It's off topic anyway. So go ahead.
Yeah, it's very protracted, and I'm like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. And of course, we had had to have a little bit of anytime you have anything with Filoni, it seems like, especially recently, you have to have some sort of wildlife involved.
Yeah.
In this case, it was a space kraken.
Space kraken. Which was cool.
I was looking at
that. But I'm just like, if I don't know, like they were so hard pressed to get away from it, and it's like, well, if Asajj is as powerful as she is, why didn't she just you know, calm the beast as soon as she could instead of hacking it to pieces and stuff like that? It just fingered it and
that's Asajj's default mode is, you know,
cut things down.
Cut first, you know, ask questions later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, my question was, how do you feel about, like, I've heard that this is not really a retcon of the book Dark Disciple. But how did you feel about Asajj being brought back in?
I have no problem with it. I mean, depending on how they on where they go with her and how they use her, I have no problem. I wouldn't mind seeing a live action Ventress. If we can find the right type of actress to play her. Because I think she's a very interesting character who kind of skirts that line between, especially now, between good and bad. Like, she seems like the type of character that she's not necessarily evil, but she's also not necessarily going to be always be a good guy.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to see her in that type of a vein, you know. Like a Hondo, but without the comedic overtones that a Hondo has.
Yeah.
Where she's someone that, you know, is a mercenary.
Yeah.
She's for hire, you know, whoever.
My first thought in casting for her would be, this actor, actress, Asia Kate Dillon. She's been on a ton of stuff. The thing that I recently saw her on was John Wick Part 3. Mm. And she plays the adjudicator, and she's more cool. She doesn't have like the heated temper that,
yeah,
at least in this performance, that Asajj Ventress is known for.
Yeah.
But I think given the fact that she's prone to shaving her head, she's got that Sinead O'Connor look going on for her. I think she would, like, if she's young enough, she's 39, but I think she would make for a really interesting live action version of Asajj Ventress.
I agree. I think that's a good choice. I'm looking up something right now. What would you think about? Well, let me find. There we go. What would you think about Millie Bobby Brown?
Millie Bobby Brown, I think, would be too young. She's only 19, and
if she was
about 10 years older, had a little bit more maturity to her, I think that would work.
I think I think maybe if you were to do a live action Clone Wars series to play a more younger Ventress, like around the time when during the Clone Wars, maybe
when she, I would say, like, maybe when she was, when she lost her master.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Brown's got that. I mean, she's got the look. She can, I mean, obviously, playing Eleven on Stranger Things, she can definitely pull off the shaved head. I think at this point, she's just become, I don't know.
I think of a name?
Would make her too, what's the word? It's too much of a name drop for Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's like having, you know, Jack Black or some other really top name performer showing up even for a cameo. It doesn't make sense, because then it's like, oh great, they got this person, and then you don't see the character, you just see the performer.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, that's true. I think that's why it's always good when, you know, unless it's like the main star, you know, Star Wars using not necessarily big names with their kind of their co-stars. I always think it's,
but then they run the risk though, because like, take a look at Hayden Christensen. Like, he was a no-name actor before Attack of the Clones, and I think he did a great job. I think the direction from George Lucas and the script that he was working with were kind of crap, and so his line,
you mean faster, more intense.
Yeah. there could have been a little bit more, like, he just came off, he was beyond wooden, he was petrified. But I think it would have been beneficial, like, just to take a look at his acting in general, because like, some of the best acting he does is in Revenge of the Sith. As far as Star Wars is concerned. But he had the physical presence, he has the emotional range, just the material he was working with was a little stunted. But then you look at some of the other stuff that he's worked on. Like, I mean, Jumper wasn't great, but he was, you know, I didn't see him. It wasn't Anakin Skywalker,
stepping into this other film, it was Hayden Christensen. The other film that I saw him in that I liked was Life as a House, opposite Kevin Kline. And I really liked him in that particular role. It was really emotional. I mean, he was playing a petulant teenager, estranged from his dad. And so that was the kind of character he was kind of shoehorned into playing because of Attack of the Clones. But I think he did a really good job with that. And it helped stretch that emotional range in his performance overall. Bringing in someone else who would be a top name actor to play this character or to play any character, it would just be like, I'm no longer seeing that character. I'm seeing the actor performing it.
Yeah, especially if they played a role like with the Millie Bobby Brown, where she played, such an iconic role in a character iconic so quickly with Eleven. I think she has done a lot to kind of because her character in Godzilla King of Monsters is pretty much 11
with
more supernatural
Another actor who would be good for playing a live action Asajj Ventress would be Elizabeth Olsen, because despite the fact that she's made a name for herself in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, she has done other roles as well, and she's very good at getting lost in those roles. Her first big name film was Martha Marcy May Marlene, I believe is what it's called. That was the first thing that she was in, and it was a dynamite performance. But she's been in a lot of other projects as well, she was in the 2014 Godzilla film, and like most people forget that she was even in that, and she did a really very good job in that role. She's barely on screen for more than maybe 5 minutes total throughout the runtime, but she's got, I think she could do very well with it. She can play intense. She can be matronly, but at the same time, she can be dangerous. But she's also one of my more favorite recent actresses. So that's just me.
Definitely.
What about you? Any other thoughts on this episode, Harbinger?
Not really. I mean, I don't know how much it really gave us. I mean, I gave us enough to talk about for our show, but it seemed like a very, like I said, it was a fun episode. Nothing necessarily bad about it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't one of those episodes where I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next week? And we're just like, oh, okay, well, there we go. That was fun.
This week, I guess, our next episode that we'll be discussing is Identity Crisis, which airs if you're listening to this, this has probably been posted well after the episode has come out. But April 3rd is the release date for Identity Crisis. That's the 10th episode of the season. My prediction for that one is that we're going to see Crosshair dealing with an identity crisis. I could be very wrong. But that's the one
I think we might be seeing one of the other clones that we've seen before dealing with an identity crisis.
It's either that or the operative that we met a couple weeks ago.
I think it might be leading more towards that, or it could be the other Omega clone. I can't think of her name, the older one.
Oh, Emery.
Emery. I think because we haven't seen any of Emery or Hemlock in a while.
Yeah, in fact, the last time we saw the Tantus base was in episode 6. So it's been 3 episodes.
Yeah. So I think we're kind of due to see how they're going. So I think we might be having a bit of a return. I don't know if it'll be the whole episode, but I predict that next week we will be returning to the Tantus space. And I think that we could be seeing Emery kind of having an attack of conscience and dealing with some.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see how this next episode plays out. Because after this week, we've got only 5 episodes left, I think. Ooh. Something like that. We're coming down to the wire now.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, we wrap things up here. Garrett, do you have anything you would like to plug or tell us what's going on over in your neck of the internet world?
Yeah. On my show, The Right Way, on YouTube, which you can see the website address there. This month, it's April now. I'm steaming towards my interview marathon, Author Awareness April. Each week is going to have a different. Normally, I've been doing monthly episodes. This month, I'm breaking that format and doing weekly episodes. Each Saturday, a new author that I'm interviewing, starting with Caria Keller, who is back east. She writes science fiction and fantasy. And the book that she is promoting right now is called The Shrine of Unanswered Prayers. It's based out of Japanese folklore. I'm really looking forward to people getting to see these interviews. So it'd be awesome. Cool. And then obviously you guys can connect with me on Instagram and X at GKJ_publishing.
Awesome. All right. As for us right here, of course, if you want to contact us, easiest way to do that, of course, is to our email. That is warofthestars1@gmail.com. Or you can find us on X under that same handle. That is @warofthestars1. Want to apologize for not continuing the Star Wars tournament that I was doing. It didn't seem to be getting a lot of traction. So I just made the executive decision to not continue it because it didn't seem to be getting a lot of traction. So that is what it is. We might try again next year. I don't know. Anyway. If you also want to get a hold of us, our Facebook, all other social media, just search War of the Stars, a Star Wars podcast. You can check us there. House cleaning. If you've noticed, if you're part of the Facebook group and you notice that we have currently gone to the group being private, that is because we were getting a ton and ton of, let's just say, adult content that was being posted there. Me and Garrett have had to go through and delete constantly. So I made the decision to make the group private, and if you want to post, it will have to be accepted by one of us. As long as you're following the rules and doing everything good, it should be able to, I don't think any of us will have any trouble posting, make a comment or want to put a post up there, as long as it follows the guidelines and rules.
But Bill and Ted will be excellent to each other.
Exactly. Be excellent to each other. Let's see what else we got. Our spreadshirtshop.com. If you want to check out and get all the cool merch that we have. We're, of course, part of GNN Geek News Now. Check them out on YouTube and Spotify or GNN.com. They do several articles and stuff like that.
You can also, if you interested in supporting us another way, if shirts and merch are not your style, go to ko-fi.com/War of the Stars, and you'll be able to pitch us a few bucks.
That's right. That's right.
Always. Or just buy some money, because right now I'm kind of needing it.
Yeah. All right. That about does it. So always remember, this is not just my Star Wars. This is not just your Star Wars. This is our Star Wars. I can't wait to hear what he's going to say. But until next time, may the Force be with you.
Utini!